Season 3 of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast is sponsored by the one and only Baratza. If you've listened to pretty much any episode of this podcast, you know how important a burr grinder is to your coffee craft. And you've probably also heard me share my affinity, or obsession, for my own Baratza Encore burr grinder. Guys, Baratza is the real deal. They've been around since 1999, helping people like you and me raise our coffee games at home. Plus, they have an incredible reputation throughout the specialty coffee industry. Now, I have the Encore, but they have a bunch of other options to choose from, depending on where you're at in your coffee journey. Their customer support is gold. They've got tons of resources available to help the home coffee lover, and they'll stick with you for troubleshooting and repairs as long as you have the grinder. They're all about sustainability, so all of their grinder parts are repairable to ensure that you and I can easily fix whatever might break or wear out over time. So check them out at baratza.com, baratza.com. And thank you so much, Baratza, for sponsoring some goodies for the community of home coffee enthusiasts this season. Hey, coffee people, Joel here, season 3, episode 6 of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast. Thank you for joining me this week. Thanks for hanging with me as we're talking this season about at-home espresso. I've been having fun and I've been learning a ton. Hopefully you have as well, as we learn to enjoy and appreciate and craft better espresso in our own homes. I'm going to jump right to it. We're going to talk today about a dirty word in coffee, and that's the word channeling. Ooh, just sends shivers down my spine. Channeling. It's a bad coffee word. And I want to talk today about what channeling is. We touched a little bit on that on this word last week if you listened to my interview with Justin. But I want to talk about what it is, why it's bad, and then I went outside and got some professional advice on how to avoid channeling at home. And got a really great interview and talk with the owner of Taproom Coffee in downtown Atlanta that you'll get to listen to here at the end of this episode. But before I jump into a little bit of the background of channeling itself, like the term, I want to give a big shout out to a company out of Portland called Clive Coffee. They wrote an amazing article with some little video clips, kind of like some 10-second videos to show you techniques and so forth around this topic of extraction and channeling. And so a lot of what I'm about to share, I'm going to give full credit to Clive Coffee. I stole a lot of my talking points in this episode with their permission what I'm about to share. So please, I'll put a link to their article in the show notes here. Go check them out. They're a great resource for this topic. Okay, so channeling. What is it? Channeling essentially is a hole that's created in a bed of coffee grounds that provides a direct line from the water source to the vessel. That's about as simple as I know how to say it. It's probably a more scientific way to say it, but that's as simple as I can make it. Water always chooses the path of least resistance. That's like a scientific proven fact. That's just how things work. Water likes to go from point A to point B with the least amount of resistance. And the problem with that is in coffee, that's a really bad thing because if there's a channel or an easy path from water source to vessel, that creates something that we call uneven extraction of your coffee. Extraction refers to the amount of flavor that water is going to pull out of ground coffee. If coffee is under-extracted, it tastes sour, maybe even watered down. If coffee is over-extracted, it's going to taste bitter and maybe dry. So if you have uneven extraction, you'll get a combination of all of the grossest flavors that you could get in espresso. Sour, watery, bitter, dry, just nasty coffee. So what we all want is coffee that is evenly extracted. So that means like the water pulls the same amount of flavor out of each little tiny coffee ground in the coffee bed. That's where you get the sweetness, the lingering pleasant flavors. You get the very best out of your coffee. So back to channeling. So channeling is actually the enemy of even extraction. Channeling causes uneven extraction. And channeling can happen in all kinds of coffee preparation. I know we're talking this season about espresso, and that's what this episode's about. But it can happen in brewed coffee methods as well. Let's look at a few of those examples. So channeling can actually happen easily and frequently with drip coffee makers. Just notice the next time that you brew a full pot of coffee, or just a pot of coffee, once it's finished, pull out the filter basket and look at the bed of wet ground coffee. If you see a hole or a couple holes in the bed, or like divots, that is channeling, my friends. I hate to tell you that. With drip coffee machines, there might not be a really great way to avoid this, unfortunately. That is why I love the machine that I've got. I've got the Breville Precision Brewer. It has a blooming feature, which pre-infuses the water and allows it to bloom, which kind of helps you avoid a little bit of channeling. It saturates the grounds first, it pauses to allow the coffee to bloom, then before it showers the rest of the hot water over the bed. It does a pretty good job of showering over the entire bed and not just like one jet straight down. However, sometimes I still see some channels in my coffee bed, which let me know it's not going to be the very best brew that I could be making. So there's trade-offs, right? So staying with brewed coffee, you guys know, if you've listened, you know my love for pour-over coffee. And part of my reason for my love of pour-over coffee is that you can avoid the dreaded channeling problem altogether with good technique. Channeling can still happen in manual or pour-over methods if you're not careful, but since you're in control of the water flow with a pour-over, you can avoid channeling. If you poured all of the hot water from the kettle directly down into one spot on the bed of coffee, you definitely will get a channel, and then you might as well have used a cheap drip coffee machine. But by pouring water in a circular motion, allowing the water to pass through the bed of coffee at an even rate, you should end up with a completely flat bed of wet grounds at the very end of your pour-over, and that lets you know that you avoided channeling and that you've brewed a fantastic cup of coffee. So I'm getting a little off topic. So back to channeling in espresso. For me, the telltale sign of channeling with my espresso machine at home is when I end up getting like hit with quick spurts of hot espresso that shoot out from the portafilter and get on my shirt and create a big mess or something like that. It's really annoying. And then I'll also know that my espresso isn't going to taste like I want it to taste. And another sign is if I pull out the portafilter after pulling a shot and I look at the coffee puck, which is a term to describe the packed bed of coffee grounds, and I'll see like a hole or a channel in the puck itself, then I know, you know, I messed it up and I'm going to have uneven extraction. My espresso is not going to taste as good as I want. So that is what channeling is, and that's why we want to avoid it for the reasons I just shared. And thanks again to Clive Coffee for that great article. So now to me, the key question, probably to you too, is how do we avoid channeling in espresso? Well, clearly I don't really know, so I had to go ask for some help. I got in touch with a new friend called, his name is Jonathan Pasquale. Jonathan is the owner of Taproom Coffee in Atlanta, in the neighborhood, the Kirkwood neighborhood, and he was gracious enough to spend a little bit of time with me in a low-res version. We talked through my iPhone microphone, and he gave me some advice, and he had some really, really great things to share to help me and help you guys at home make better espresso and avoid the dreaded word channeling. So let's hear what he had to say.
My name is Jonathan Pasquale, and I'm the owner, operator of Taproom Coffee and Beer in Atlanta.
Awesome. Well, Jonathan, thanks for giving me a little bit of your time today. We're masked up in your dining room. You guys have weathered the storm, man. Congratulations on I'm sure it's a crazy, you've had a crazy several months. We don't need to get into that, but congrats on being back open in the dining room and for all you've done to keep everything safe. Yeah. In the Kirkwood area. So we're in the Kirkwood area of Atlanta. That's where Taproom is. They've got craft coffee and craft beer on the menu, but they're experts in the art of craft coffee. And so, Jonathan, I'm struggling at home with espresso. I'm having a hard time. And thanks for giving me some advice today. Some of the times when I pull an espresso shot, I'm getting spit at, like hot espresso is like shooting at my shirt. And it makes me mad. Sometimes I just have an inconsistent result. Sometimes I get it right, but I pull out the portafilter and every once in a while I'll see kind of holes in the bed, in the espresso puck, the bed of coffee. And I'm trying to avoid channeling. And I know it's a huge topic, but I'd love to hear just any advice that you have for a home coffee enthusiast like me or anybody listening here. Like, how do you avoid channeling when you're making espresso at home? And that's a big topic, but what do you have to say?
All right, so I'll start off with the caveat that I don't consider myself an expert, so I've been in coffee long enough to forget most of what I've learned. And I've operated coffee shops. I've never really had an espresso machine at home, even though I have worked on home espresso machines and you know, been at people's houses and used their espresso machines and such. But I don't have a day-to-day working knowledge of home espresso. So whatever I say is gonna apply to the coffee shop environment, but of course some general principles. But yeah, what you're talking about with channeling, I don't know how much of you talked about it previous episodes on the podcast, but it's essentially the water going to the path of least resistance. And in espresso, when that happens, then that path of least resistance, any water that's maybe going through those grounds that are at a faster or more aggressive rate than the other grounds, then you're going to have the one where they're channeled is going to be more extracted than the area that is not channeled. So that's a gross overview, but it can be severe at times. It can be slight at times. It almost always happens to some extent. And a lot of times we just don't know what happens because all that's inside the group head and it's happening while it's brewing and we don't see it. And so yeah, channeling happens and usually results in off-taste espresso. So you're going to have some, in a way, over-extraction and under-extraction all mixed together. And in the end, it's not a good balance and won't taste right. And so the prevailing theory and thought and science all supports that the more even your extraction is and the higher you can extract, then it will taste better overall. Those are like really big overview kind of rules, and you can get a nuance with all that. With home espresso, I was mentioning this before we started recording, there are a lot more variables. And so one of the biggest things is you have lower quality equipment. And so with commercial equipment, it's usually very consistent, and the coffee being grounded at a higher consistency with less variability. The espresso machine will be more at the stable temperature, stable pressure, and produce the same brewing parameters, atmospheric condition kind inside the group head that is consistent shot to shot, more so than your home espresso machine. So a lot of the home coffee espresso brewing will depend on what your exact equipment is. So if you've got the cheapest, you know, $30 espresso machine and a blade grinder at home and you're trying to do espresso, it's gonna be high variability, and I can't even really speak to that. And we'll be on the opposite end from maybe a $2,000 machine at home and a really expensive grinder. So that said, I was asking you for, you know, what is your home setup? What are you using for a grinder? What are you using for a espresso machine? And that'll help us guide the conversation.
Yeah, that's good. So I have a Baratza Encore, which I use for everything. So drip coffee, everything, espresso. It's got 40 settings, 40 size settings. And then I have a decent espresso machine. So it's not a La Marzocco Linea Mini, but it's not a manual lever machine. It's a really good machine, but it's kind of in that middle tier range.
Okay, so, you know, one of those things that jumps out first is the Baratza Encore. I have an Encore at home, and I use it for my drip coffee at home, but I don't have an espresso machine. What I do know about the Baratza Encore, at least in the stock setup and what I have at home, is it just grinds into one big chamber. Is that the same for yours, or does it have a doser for espresso port filter?
One big chamber.
Okay, so that would be one thing. So when you're dealing with grinding into a chamber and it is all the grounds together, and then you have the challenge, how are you gonna get that into the portafilter in a consistent way to where you are guarding against channeling? So how are you getting it from that chamber into your portafilter?
So I have a little funnel that I use that I put on top of the portafilter, and then I take the chamber, I pull, after Baratza, the Encore grinds the coffee, I pull the whole plastic chamber out, and I just kind of tap the side at an angle through the filter so it doesn't like get grounds all over my countertop. But it just kind of ends up in one big pile in the portafilter.
Okay, so then the next question is, once it's in a pile in your portafilter, what is your next step before you're tamping and pulling your shot?
Oh, I should have said too, I forgot to mention, I take a chopstick in the actual chamber before I pour it into the portafilter, and I just kind of like
shoot the chopstick side to side and try to break up any clumps that I see.
Okay.
But then once it's in a pile in the portafilter, I just take my tamper and I start to tamp it. So
tell me what I'm... Okay, do you try to level it off at all?
I think I shake it side to side a little bit, okay, but I don't get very specific with it.
All right, so there's immediately some things that we could work on, okay, to increase your consistency and reduce channeling. So one of the things you're using a chopstick to maybe to break up some clumps. Maybe consider, I don't know if you've tried before, doing something that's thinner than a chopstick. So say almost to like a paperclip size, to where it would actually break up the clumps a little more effectively. There are people have done all kinds of home hacks where they've done like a whole configuration of little pins or something like that, and then really ensuring that any clumps are broken up. But a chopstick to me just logically might just push around some of those clumps rather than breaking them up. So you may want to consider doing something with a smaller diameter, thinner, to break up those clumps. That would be one thing.
So I'm hearing you say, not to interrupt you, but breaking up the clumps is really important, is kind of what you're saying.
Possibly. So it's not a step that we do in a commercial setting because our grinders aren't producing as many clumps like that. One of the other things to consider is maybe if you're seeing the presence of a lot of clumps often, you may be grinding too fine. And so if you're grinding too fine or you're grinding finer in order to compensate for a taste in the espresso, maybe what you actually need is more even distribution and more even extraction. A lot of times people are going finer because they're thinking overall it's under extracted. Whereas if you actually adjust your distribution and increase your extraction that way, rather than increasing extraction through finer grind, you will have less of the fine grind that's clumping up.
So what does it mean to increase distribution? What's that mean?
So not necessarily increasing distribution, but increasing your quality of distribution. And so distribution is just how evenly are those grounds distributed throughout the portafilter basket. And one of the things that you can do is in your flow, after you've gotten the grounds into the portafilter basket and it's the weight that you want, Matt Perger really, of Barista Hustle, he really popularized this like side tap, palm tap, to do a lateral distribution. When we started instituting that several years ago, I mean, it's been a long while now, maybe 5 years ago, into our flow, I really saw our shot-to-shot consistency increase a lot more significantly. I think it's really just because it can become, when practiced well, that kind of a motion for a lateral distribution really does effectively distribute the grounds within the portafilter really well, to the degree where you're getting rid of these pockets of voids of air that are there, maybe even breaking up some of the clumps of the grounds, and then preparing the bed of grounds in order to be tamped evenly.
I've seen this tool called a distributing tool or distributor that you kind of spin or like pivot on top. Is that important or is that extra? What are your thoughts on that?
People would probably argue with me. I would say that a distribution tool like that is maybe not as effective as some people think, and that a quality lateral distribution with doing a palm tap would be just as effective, if not more effective. Usually, the more implements that you're using, you're introducing variables that with every variable you can have a negative effect on your distribution and then extraction. And so you want to reduce as many variables as possible. So you want to be consistent and controlled and make small adjustments in order to control those and then really know how your actions are affecting the outcome of the taste. So I have found just in practice that a practice-controlled lateral distribution with a palm tap is very effective for distributing within the portafilter basket.
That's really helpful. And by palm tap, just like as I'm trying to do a visual picture, so you kind of shake, if I'm holding the portafilter handle in my right hand and I'm shaking it side to side, with my left hand, I'm tapping the side of the portafilter, the bottom of the portafilter. What do you do?
And it's really difficult to describe just with audio, but... Yeah, you have the grounds in the basket, and with your one hand on the handle of the portafilter, you kind of strike the portafilter basket against the other hand, and doing that just a couple times, and you see the bed of grounds kind of shake out to level. And you were talking about how you kind of shake it side to side anyway. When you're doing that without actually tapping on your palm, I find that there's a lot of variability in how hard people can shake, and then also maybe a little out of control where grounds are actually maybe flying out of the basket or anything like that. A controlled shake with repeated, like controlled motion where you know how much strength you're throwing up against the palm, and it takes a lot of practice. So it'll take days, weeks, however long, for you to get that down to where it's really consistent. But once you do, then it can really result in a really good distribution.
This is super helpful. So I'm hearing consistency of the grind size. I'm hearing breaking up the clumps as best as you can with a really thin tool, right?
So
maybe potentially. I'm hearing the importance of distributing the grounds evenly and kind of having a level, leveling.
Probably the most important step is an even distribution of the grounds.
Oh, that's great. All right, so now talk to me about tamping, because that's another area that I haven't probably perfected. I bet I'm doing a lot of things wrong there.
Yeah, most people overthink the tamp. So I would say distribution of the grounds in the portafilter basket is maybe your number one best thing to focus on, control well and to practice and develop a technique and flow where that is the most consistent. Once you have that bit of grounds, really everything else you do has less effect, including the tamping, including maybe like minute changes in temperature or pressure, whatever it is. And so it's really important to get that distribution right. Once you get the distribution right and it's relatively flat before you've tamped, some people introduce also like a just one vertical tap, like a settle, usually accomplished with the portafilter just being held level and then either tapped on the counter or tapped on the forks of the grinder. Of the portafilter rest metal part that's there. And so that vertical settle also further kind of collapses the bed and gets rid of any air pockets or whatever it is that might have been there and present before you start tamping. It's optional, but it can settle the grounds and make them even more even. But you don't want to overthink that either. So you don't want to multiple tap. You definitely don't want to do what we used to do in the industry years ago with tapping with the tamper. You're going to nick your portafilter and your tamper, and it's going to actually do more harm to the distribution and a finished puck than any help at all. So tamping, you're asking, best practices. Really, if you can have a level tamp and a consistent pressure, then that really is the best. So don't overthink how hard you're doing it. You really are pressing down until it doesn't go anymore. Used to be the prevailing thought that it was 30 pounds of pressure and you need to do that, and people would practice on a bathroom scale. That it is no longer the case. Really, it's press until the grounds don't go anymore, and don't press any harder. Don't overexert yourself. A lot of repetitive motion injury happens because of tamping. And so in the shop setting, we actually use an automatic tamper now, puck press. We've been doing that the last few years, and everyone's wrist injuries behind the bar went away. And so I highly recommend automatic tamping in a commercial setting. But the home setting, you don't have that luxury of dropping a lot of money on an automatic tamper. Some people do, but I wouldn't recommend it. You can get a fairly inexpensive tamper, and as long as the diameter of the tamper matches as closely to the diameter of the inside of the portafilter basket, that's what you want. You don't want it to have a big gap where you will leave some grounds untamped, and then you're going to introduce channeling into that side of the puck. And so that's really important to get that matched up. You don't want the weird rounded bases or spiral base tampers or whatever it is. A flat tamper base that is as close to the diameter of the basket as possible, that is the best.
Love it. Guys, you're hearing the professionals, man. This is awesome. You've given me a ton, Jonathan. I appreciate it, especially bringing it to the home person like me that doesn't have all the fancy equipment that you guys have. And also, we're not doing, hundreds of shots, tamping hundreds of shots per day like your baristas are. So just even thinking about proper tamping, like equipment and technique is huge. So thank you. This might be a dumb question. When I do all these things right at home, or when someone listening does all these things right at home, what should we be looking for in the finished product? I know what to look for in the basket. If you see holes, like you have channeling, right? So, but if we did it all right, what's like the, what's the look and feel of the finished product that we should expect?
Yeah, I think most people can, at least in theory, be able to say what a espresso shot should look like. You know, it's thick, it's creamy, it has that foamy head on it that we call crema. It's going to be like intense and bittersweet, not overly bitter. It's not going to be overly watery. And so there's a measure of when it is just right. It's intense, but really good. Maybe an acquired taste, but not off-putting in being overpowering. And so it's a wide range. It also depends on the coffee you're using. If you're using a relatively lighter or darker roast, that can affect color, it can affect taste a whole lot. If you like the more like really smoky dark roast for your home espresso, which a lot of people do, it's going to taste a lot different. It's also going to react differently when you're trying to dial in and troubleshoot, and very different from a much lighter roast that's going to be higher acidity and punchier and have a very different flavor profile. And so by taste, it varies widely. By look, most people, I think, would be able to say, yeah, that looks like a good shot. But that only goes so far with the looks.
Hey, Jonathan, how can folks listening to the show find out more about Taproom Coffee?
Well, we're on social media with the handle at Taproom Coffee and any channel. We usually stick with Instagram, but you can find us on Facebook as well. And then you go to our website, taproomcoffee.com. And, of course, you can come in-store anytime. We're in the Kirkwood neighborhood, the east side of Atlanta, and we're here 7 days a week.
Man, Jonathan, Taproom Coffee, the owner himself, thank you so much for spending time with me. Thanks for sharing knowledge and wisdom, dropping some knowledge bombs to help me and others at home figure out how to avoid channeling and avoid the enemy, which is channeling. Thanks so much. We're cheering for you. God bless you guys. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.